Our scripture reading this evening is going to come from 1 Thessalonians. You've heard a little bit of it already from our praise team. But we're going to be reading from chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verses 12 through 22. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. It's the word of the Lord. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thessalonians was probably the first epistle that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. And the little snippet that we read from this evening is filled with all kinds of wonderful advice. In addition to telling us how we ought to relate to one another in the community of faith, admonishing one another, encouraging one another, and being patient with one another, Paul also tells us how we ought to relate to God. We ought to rejoice always, he says. Pray without ceasing. And my favorite, give God thanks in all circumstances. Giving thanks along with rejoicing and praying is a way of keeping touch with God's presence in our lives. It's a way of keeping in tune with the Spirit of God in our midst. And that's why Paul says, do not quench the Spirit. You know, there's nothing that quenches God's Spirit in our lives like ingratitude. And it's not that we mean to be ungrateful. I don't think we consciously mean to be ungrateful. But we get so busy with our lives. We get so caught up in the stress and so caught up with all the things that aren't going so well that we lose touch with reality. We begin to lose touch with God's presence in our lives, and we quench the Spirit. But Paul says, don't let any of that happen. Don't quench the Spirit. But give God thanks in every circumstance. There's always something to give God thanks for. Now, perhaps you're saying to yourself, well, come on. Paul didn't really mean for us to give God thanks in every circumstance, did he? Certainly, Paul is engaging in a bit of hyperbole here. But Paul actually practiced what he preached. There's that passage in the book of Acts where we're told that Paul and Silas has been thrown into prison, which I think we'd all agree is not something that was good. He's been beaten. They've been stripped of their clothes. They've been thrown into a dingy prison with uncongenial inmates, not the kind of way that any of us would perhaps want to spend our time. And yet the text tells us that at midnight, Paul and Silas are praising God and singing hymns, no doubt hymns of thanksgiving. Now, I know how I would probably respond in that kind of a circumstance. I'd probably be feeling sorry for myself, maybe even questioning God. Lord, you know, you sent me out here. I'm out here to do your work, and now you've allowed this thing to happen to me. I'm afraid I probably wouldn't be a very good example of joy and thanksgiving. In fact, to be honest, I doubt that I would make a good pilgrim either. At least not the kind of pilgrim that we celebrate on Thanksgiving. If you think about that pilgrim story, people come all the way from England to settle in Jamestown. And while they're on the way on the Mayflower, the ship is blown off course. And by the time they get to port in the New World, they're not at Jamestown, but they're somewhere way north in the wilderness, way up in Massachusetts. And to make matters worse, by the time they begin to settle in their new location, it's winter. And over half of the people who came over on the Mayflower die of disease and hunger and exposure. And even though some Native Americans take pity on them and help them to show them how to grow corn, the first crop is a dismal crop. And by the time they're able even to send some of their produce back to England, it's hijacked by a group of pirates. So I don't think that if I was in that first group of pilgrims coming over, I wouldn't feel that there was a whole lot to be thankful for. And yet that early group of pilgrims gave thanks to God with the feast in which they celebrated with their Native American fellow community people that had helped them throughout that first difficult year. Even though we recall the events at Plymouth Rock in 1621, Thanksgiving wasn't actually declared a national holiday until 1863, when President Lincoln declared the next to last Thursday in November as a national day of Thanksgiving. And it was in the midst of the Civil War, one of the bloodiest conflicts of modern warfare, where brother was fighting against brother and family against family, with economic hardship and devastation and tremendous loss of life. Yet in the midst of those terrible circumstances, the president strove to remind the nation of how blessed the nation was. Even though we were going through this terrible war, the president wanted to remind the nation of how much God had blessed the nation and how much God would bless the nation in the future. The Apostle Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. I just want to make clear this evening that God doesn't need our thanks. It's always good to know that people appreciate what you do for them. And I imagine that God probably appreciates too when we stop to say thank you to God. But God doesn't need our thanks. If God wanted thanks, God would raise up the very rocks and stones to praise God and to give God thanks. The birds and the trees and the wind and all of nature would give God thanks. God doesn't need our thanks. But we are encouraged to give God thanks not for God's sake, but for our sake. We need to give God thanks because it's when we begin to give God thanks and become conditioned to thanking God, and when we make gratitude a part of our lives, then we begin to be able to tune in to the Spirit of God in our midst. And we begin to be able to tune in to the presence of God in our lives. You know, sometimes we see people walking around and they're grumpy and they're mean and they're complaining. And every time you see them, they have a litany of complaints about what's not going right. You know, this isn't going right and that isn't going right. Well, it's because they're ungrateful. They've quenched the presence of God out of their lives. People are not ungrateful because they're unhappy. We sometimes think people are ungrateful because they're unhappy, but that's not true. People are unhappy because they are ungrateful. When you're constantly giving God thanks, you don't have time to be ungrateful. You ought to try it sometimes. Try giving God thanks. Try to recall all the things you have to be thankful for and start giving God thanks. And when you start giving God thanks and when you start making that a part of your life, you'll recognize that you don't have time to be grumpy. You don't have time to be unhappy. You'll start to begin to live a life of joy and praise, and your whole spirit will be uplifted because you're constantly remembering all you have to be thankful for. People who are thankful don't have time to be unhappy. So try it. Whenever you start feeling sorry for yourself, whenever things start going wrong, begin to think about all the things that go right. Begin to think of all the ways that God has blessed you. Someone suggested that when we die, what we'll be judged for is not what we've accomplished, but what we'll be judged for is how thankful we were to have lived. And that's a sobering thought for many of us, because compared to many people in the world, we have been blessed with so much. We've been placed in the most favorable of circumstances. We have a free and prosperous society that we live in, relatively speaking. Most of us have plenty of food to eat and plenty of clothes to wear. We have plenty of potable water to drink, not only to drink, but to bathe in and to wash our clothes in and to play in. There's no raging diseases like chlorine rampaging through our ranks unchecked. We ought to be brimming with joy and thanksgiving. But sometimes it appears that the more blessed we are, the more unhappy and grateful we become. Today, we live in a country where many people are probably feeling a little less secure than we were a few short years ago. We're still in the midst of the worst recession that we've ever had since the Great Depression. Many people are still unemployed, and the future for many of us seems uncertain. Our country is still at war, and the internal mood of our country is fearful and dire. When we turn on the television set or we begin to surf the internet, we see people screaming at each other and calling each other all kinds of names. We see people retreating in their own ideological and political camps. And I can't help but to wonder what the national mood would be if we stopped to truly give thanks to God for all the many ways that God has blessed us, both individually and as a nation. If we really begin to give God thanks, I don't think we'd have time to be screaming at each other. If we really stopped to give God thanks, I don't think we'd have time to be fearful of one another. If we stopped to give God thanks, I don't think we'd be calling each other names. We'd be too busy thanking God for all that God has given us. Thank you, God, for this beautiful, wonderful country that you have given us. Thank you, God, that we're still a people who live in freedom. Thank you, God, for the rich legacy that you've bequeathed to all of us. Thank you, God, for the rich resources that we have as a nation. Thank you, God, for this wonderful land in between two great oceans. Thank you, God, for all that you've given us. Thank you. We had time to really be thanking God like we should be thanking God. We wouldn't have time for all of the nonsense that we allow to go on in our nation, the way we treat one another. We'd be thanking God for the wonderful circumstances that God has placed us in. One of the most moving experiences for me happened early in my ministry. It happened when the church secretary of the church that I was serving died, stemming from complications. She suffered from lupus. She was only 37 when she passed. And I'd been at the hospital for most of the day with the family, her mother and her husband and her friends and family, brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews. They all began to stream in to say goodbye for the last time. At about 4 in the afternoon, I left to get something to eat. And when I came back about an hour and a half later, the growing crowd of friends and family had gone. A nurse informed me that Janine, that was her name, had indeed just passed away. I slowly made my way back into West Philadelphia to the family house where I knew the family would be gathering, trying to find the emotional reserves to comfort the the family in the midst of their tragic loss. When I got to the house, the mood was considerably lighter than I had anticipated. Friends and family gathered together as the mother and matriarch pulled out a photo album and began to share pictures of Janine, depicting the various stages of her life. And everyone began to thank God for Janine's life. Her brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews all recalled the stories of their most memorable experiences with Janine. And instead of an atmosphere of weeping and mourning, there was a genuine spirit of joy and thanksgiving for Janine's life. And I thought at the time of Paul's words, "Give God thanks in all circumstances." This evening, I give God thanks for each and every one of you. I give God thanks for this faith community and for all the friends that I have made in the course of the last year. And I give God thanks for my own family, for my mother and my brothers and sisters, my aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews that I had an opportunity to go see last month. And of course, I give God thanks for the grace and mercy that God has bestowed upon each and every one of us through the life and death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.